Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to say before I preach on this story from Genesis that I sure hope that God is going to keep his promise and not swallow the earth in a flood today as we have an inch of rain coming down and all of this snow on the ground. While I was reading a variety of different articles and commentaries to prepare for this sermon, I stumbled across a story told by a retired professor of theology from Princeton University, Daniel Migliori. Daniel and his wife used to volunteer in Trenton with many of the children who were in such fragile and tenuous situations in that a very poor city. And Dr. Migliori was telling the story of Noah and the flood one day, and when he got to the part about the rainbow, it occurred to him that the children in Trenton may never have seen a rainbow. And so he asked them, he said, "Have any of you ever seen a rainbow?" Many of them like, "Yes, yes, yes, of course," and the others start to describe what it looked like, and he said, "Well, out of curiosity, where have you seen a rainbow?" And they said, "Well, in the puddles on the sides of the street." For most of these children, their image of a rainbow that they were so excited about were the oil slicks left on the side of the road after a rain. In the midst of such potential chaos and filth, these children were able to find this point of beauty and hope that they were so excited to share. Dr. Migliori said he left there with a sense of being grief-stricken, that this is the rainbow that the children knew, and awestruck at our capacity as human beings to find hope and beauty everywhere. When we think about the metaphorical floodwaters that arise in our lives, as we stand at the beginning of Lent, this story invites me to reflect on whether I can see rainbows in the midst of filthy puddles, in the midst of floodwaters, in the midst of darkness and chaos that swirls around us. So what keeps us from seeing rainbows? What prevents us from being able to look at that puddle or to look at the floodwaters in our lives and see this promise that God sends arcing out over the skies across all time to us as well? Well, partly for me, I know, and perhaps for you too, that when I'm in the midst of confusing situations or facing chaotic and confusing stories like Noah and the flood, I automatically want to intellectually understand it. And so I start diving for questions like, did that really happen? Was there really a flood? Was there really an ark? If there was an ark, where did it live? Or if it's a situation in my own life, probing intellectually, how come these floodwaters are rising? Where did that come from? Why is this happening to me? Spinning, spinning, spinning mentally is one of my greatest gifts. And it's also one of the things that prevents me from seeing those shining points of beauty and hope. When I'm so busy turning something over in my mind and researching and puzzling and trying to sort it out, I can miss the very subtle and ephemeral beauty that is all around us, even in the middle of that darkness and chaos. A second thing that I'm a professional at is blaming other people for the floodwaters that rise. We see that actually in this story. In every civilization, there is some great flood story of some kind or another. And in this one, we see that the Hebrew people try to make sense of this myth that had come down to them by blaming their ancestors for being so wicked and by blaming God for smiting them from the earth. When we find ourselves up to our necks, overwhelmed by whatever the chaos and floodwaters might be in your life, it is such a human instinct to look outside and say, "Oh, well, you know, that person must have gotten sick because they did an exercise through their lives. To blame, to try to figure out where did this come from by blaming. Sometimes that blame turns on ourselves. I experienced this just last week when I was traveling in North Carolina and visiting my sister. There's nothing like a visit with a family to bring out the inner child in me. And I did not behave well, shall we say, in one particular situation and triggered the floodwaters. And when I looked back on sort of the chaos of the interaction with my sister, I immediately, you know, start flagellating myself. Oh my gosh, I'm 44 years old. How many times am I going to walk down this road? Why didn't I see that this would happen? Why couldn't I control myself? Why didn't I have a better reaction? And in the middle of all of that, you know, inward self-blame, again, I forget to lift up my head and look for the beauty, the hope, those little signs of life that will draw me forward. Any of these things that I might be inclined to do, and you may have other ways that you cope when you feel these floodwaters rising, any of these things of trying to understand intellectually, blaming ourselves, blaming God, blaming other people, all of these things serve the purpose of focusing on the floodwaters. Sometimes that's helpful because we need to understand somewhat of the situation that we're in order to survive. But other times we can get so infatuated with the chaos, so obsessed with the illness, the financial difficulties, the relationship issues, that we miss the rainbow. I think it's extraordinary that the sign of hope and life and goodness that God arcs out to Noah and his sons and all of creation is something as fleeting and ephemeral as a rainbow. God didn't plant a massive oak tree and say, with this oak tree, I send you a sign of new life and new hope. The roots will sink into the earth and the branches will reach into the sky and you can come it and you can touch it and you can wrap your arms around it and it will be there for all of eternity. God didn't give us that kind of a sign. God sent a rainbow, which we all know you can miss in a flash if you're not awake and aware. So as we move into our Lenten journeys, we have a double invitation in this story. There are floodwaters in our lives that we cause. We all know what they are. Maybe a little too much. And Lent is an invitation for us to bring that awareness to God and to invite God to help those floodwaters recede. When Noah is given the promise of the rainbow, it's not when the earth is full of life and teeming with goodness and beauty and the flowers are blooming. The rainbow is sent in the midst of the devastation. As the floodwaters are receding, can you only imagine? Well, just look at our parking lot, and you can imagine the devastation after those floodwaters recede. The rainbow, it comes to us as the sign pulling us with hope into the future when we can barely begin to imagine that those floods will recede. So asking God to help with that, if you know that you are the source of some of the chaos and the floodwaters in your life, asking for God's help can help those floodwaters recede. But then we also have the invitation to let it go. You don't have to keep focusing on the floodwaters. You can lift up your head and see the rainbow. It might flash across the sky for just a second, but often that's long enough to give you hope to make it through the next hour, the next day, or the next week. I don't know what the rainbows are in your life. I know that for me, in working on the Book of Lenten Reflections that you'll receive when you leave church today, those personal stories about Lenten journeys are all rainbows, are all arcs from God into my heart and into my life, helping me to see the redemptive love of God, pulling us forward. Personal interactions, somebody bringing you a meal, calling you, sending you a card, simply asking, how are you? How are things going for you? Basic human kindness can be that arc of a rainbow in the midst of floodwaters. Each and every one of you has the opportunity to be that source of hope for another person, and you have the invitation to pick your heads up and to see those rainbows that God sends so graciously into our lives. So as we begin our Lenten journey together, I pray that God will help each and every one of us to examine our lives and our hearts to see where we can hold ourselves accountable for making some changes. And perhaps the most profound one is the ability to see God constantly reaching out to us eternally and faithfully for thousands of years, bringing beauty and hope in the midst of the darkest and most chaotic times. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.